We are here. Hallelujah. I tell you what, this has been one interesting week. I think it's been a different week for everybody. My wife is not with us tonight. She's had a funeral from her family to go to. We've had some funerals. People died this week, a lot of different people. Death is real. And here we are again tonight to come and honor the Father on Shabbat, evening to evening. And I want to share tonight my experience, what I go through each week, putting together again the things that I've learned through the teachings of Pastor and Brother Scott and whoever's up to speak, taking it serious. There's a serious word that came, Brother Scott shared, and I take it to heart. And as I'm going through it, the Father shows me little things I pick up on. And one thing we'll get to it sooner or later is it was in 2 Samuel chapter 22. And you get to what Dawid's talking about his rock and everything that he's gone through. And he looks up to Elohim for everything. And it gets to the last verse and that last word, forever. There's two Hebrew words there. And when you put them together, I'll go over it a little bit tonight later on. It stuck out to me about we're living in midstream right now, and we got to trust what our eyes don't see in the natural. We got to constantly stay focused on Him. And then that those two Hebrew words in Olam, the ancient Hebrew, is there's this word, it's a vanishing point. You know, there's the controversy between the flat earth and the world being round and all this. And when you look out and there's a ship miles and miles away, you can't see it at a vanishing point. There's only a certain point that you can see it. But if you look in binoculars or those high focused in cameras, you can see a ship there plain as day over several miles. But if you try and look with just your regular eyes without any extras to help you, it's called a vanishing point. And you can only see so far with a vanishing point. Yehovah is forever and He's eternal. He has no vanishing point. He sees the beginning where it went on forever. He sees the present and He sees beyond the future forever and ever and ever. It's almost hard for one in the natural mind to kind of picture or fathom. But in the spirit, it's there. And you're going to have to use that whenever you learn. When He says, we're going this way, and you can't see it, there's a vanishing point. He could see it. He sees it plain as day, but you don't. He does. And there's the in-betweens. And we're in Shemot, and I've been reading all the way up to chapter 3, where it talks about chapter 3, 11 and 12. And Moshe said to Elohim, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Mishraim? And he said, because I'm with you. And one, he sees everything. And this is to you a sign that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Mishraim and you to serve Elohim on this mountain. And I'm like, man, he just got finished and he's still talking to Elohim. He's got to retrieve all the people from Mishraim and come all the way back to Mount Sinai. That's a far stretch. And you got to think about, we already know the story. We read it many a times, the Exodus. There's a lot of in-betweens from where he's at talking to Yehovah all the way to Mishraim to retrieve the people. And Yehovah already sees it, and we're going to meet right back here at Mount Sinai. This is where we're going to meet. And this is where you're going to serve me. And that word served there is going to be working, just like us. We're working. It's all a pattern. It all shows a pattern of what we're going to be doing. We're going to be working. And we're going to be portraying the characteristics of Yehovah. And so before we get into the vanishing point and all those details in Shemot, chapter 3, 11 and 12, I was going back to the words of Yeshua, where He always says, these are not my words, but the words of the Father. The word that we're learning and that we're hearing is very important and crucial, because there's only one way to eternal life, and there's only one way to the Father. And there's many ways to destruction and the trouble and the anguish and grief and sorrow and the same merry-go-round in the flesh over and over and over, because I've been learning in my studies that no matter how hard man tries in his corrupt mind to make an eternal life, it's impossible. That's why he took him out of the garden. That's why he took him out of eating from the tree of life and live like that forever and ever and ever. So they got to die. There's a death point. But Jehovah brings us out of death. And he shows us life. He says, my character is eternal. Heaven is an eternal realm where he abodes. It's eternal. But we're in a temporal time. And he graced us with a spot in the temporal time to get the eternal character. And so it's just amazing how when you're reading and studying, and the closer you get to him, the more you see, you're like, man, because it gets frustrating sometimes. How many knows when the pressure comes and things ain't going well? And you start, you see you're in it and you hate it. You hate Midstream. You see the pressure from the taxes. You see the pressure from the gas prices. You see the pressure from the insurance. You see the pressure when something breaks down. It feels like you're trying to get your nose out the water and you go right back down in a hole even deeper. And you're like, what's the use? What's the use? The more I try, the more in the hole I go. And then I've had my times during the week where I'm frustrated. This broke, that broke, the air conditioner truck broke, and it's hot and I'm pouring sweat coming home after a long day. And I'm like, this is not fun. And then I call Brother Scott and he's like, man, my water heater busted. I've been up all night working. He's like, well, we're going through it. And so my wife, I get with her and I'm just sharing with her and I'm just going through a tough time. And she, my counterpart's telling me, hey, you better focus. Because what happened with Kepha when he wasn't focused anymore? You start to sink. You start looking at Midstream in your surroundings. And so I got there and I had my conversation. I said, what's the use? And I had my conversation. And he said, Chad, you got to see past Midstream. Chad. I said, I hear you. He said, you got to see past Midstream. He said, if you take your eyes off of me, you're going to sink. That's why I'm telling you, you can't focus on those things. They're little things. And so I started digging deep. And when he started showing me the ancient Hebrew and seeing where we are and what's the purpose and what's the plan, I come up. I started coming up. My spirit and his spirit are lining up. I'm coming up. And then everything started working out. And so I knew it was going to be anywhere from $1,200 to $1,500 for another air condition. And I really didn't want to put that stuff on no credit card and all that stuff. I wanted to pay for it. And I had some monies. And I told my wife, I said, we talked about it. I said, look, my truck is with me all the time. There's only one way to get it up there, the tire shack. And you're going to have to bring it. And she said, well, I got to bring my mom up there, this and that, da-da-da-da-da. We're going to do that. So I'm getting this story out just to tell you that Jehovah is in control in the middle of Midstream, but you just got to listen to him and you got to always think of the positive and not the negative. So we got it all set up. I had a trip the day before that and I ended up getting a $600 tip. I ain't seen one of them in a while. I said, look, I got a $600 tip. And the next day I got another tip. And she's like, oh, we got that all paid. I got it all right here. We're going to pay for it. If it stays within that range of $1,500. So I get on a trip. I'm out there at East Bay fishing, and I get service, a phone call. I said, hello? She goes, hey, we got a problem. The air condition's beyond Tire Shack. They said, we got to go somewhere else. They got this place called SCS. They know the people a little bit. They sent me that way. They said it'd be better if a guy talks to them. Can you call? I'm like, so I said, yeah, I'll call. And I got off the phone. The first thing your corrupt mind starts wanting to do is start thinking, oh, my gosh, it's going to cost $5,000. Oh, my gosh, they're going to all the negative, negative, negative. And I remembered the word, and I said, stop. Stop. I said, this is for a reason and a purpose. There's somebody, something, somehow, some way, a conversation. I don't know, but it has to happen that way. You got to get over. It's not going your way, so it's not fun. It's not easy. You're in Midstream. It's not about you. And so I said, something positive is going to, and so I started praying in the spirit. And he said, I'm giving you favor. I'm like, all right, I'm giving you favor. So I called and it rolled over to a lady. I don't know who she is. So I explained my situation And she said, well, can you bring the truck? I said, I don't have the truck. My wife does. She's in town and blah, 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 blah. She goes, well, bring it over to the place. I'm driving on my way there. I'll meet her there. And I called Linda. She says, all right, no, by the Spirit, I got to be there. So I'm on my way. So she goes there. And about maybe 20 minutes later, I moved out to another rig. It's SOS. I'm like, oh, no service. My wife's going to try and call me. And she's going to need me for something. I was like, well, you know what? It's just going to work out. And so a little while later, I get service. And it goes ding. It says, call me whenever you get a chance. We got favor. I'm like, I knew it. I knew it. We got favor. So anyways, when I got in, I got service. So she tells me this story where she goes, knocks on the door because it's locked, goes around the backside. She ends up getting in there, and make a long story short, she ends up talking to this lady, sharing what's going on. She's up there and this and that. And the lady tells her, she says, listen, this is my business and my company. We mostly do commercial stuff. We do all of Plaquemines Parish, the police department, and the fire trucks. You know, mostly the trucks. What kind of truck is it? So she shares with her. And she tells, and they have great conversations with their family, talking and background and all this, and they're having a great conversation. And she says, well, right now, the mechanic is working for the past 2 days on a canine vehicle. Let me go in the back and see what's going on. Maybe we could see what we could do here. She goes in the back, and the mechanic is been working on things. She says, hey, can you get off of this? Do you really need to get this done today? She says, no, it's not even in a hurry. I could work on something else. What you got? Bring the truck back here. So I look at the truck and said, man, it's going to take all day, but you know what? If it takes me an hour past my working, I'm going to get it done. And so my wife's telling me this. Where do you get favor like that? Of a place that you're not even supposed to be. They don't even work on vehicles like we need. This is for the parish and other things. And she says, so I said, we're going to fit you right in. We'll have your truck done this evening. Looked at it. It wasn't as bad as they thought it was. Got it all done. It was, I think, $1,300, $1,400, something like that. Got it all paid for and done before 4 o'clock. All done. All done and paid for. I'm like, man, that's favor. And so you're going through it. And I talked to Brother Scott, got with him on the phone and said, hey, we had breakthrough. And he said, yep, I went through it. When I got my water connected, put the hot side on, I got a drip. Had to cut the water off, take it all apart, fix it. Put it back together, make it tight, the cold water dripping. So I got to take all apart, turn it off again, the cold water's dripping. And you know, if water will find a way, you got to make sure you tighten it down and get it right. So we're just sharing, like, you know, how through these words of Elohim and everything that we're going through, it's going to be okay. It really is. And then thinking about being a light for other people, that somebody just lost their son, thinking about that lady, and you know, just praying for that family, my boy, my boy, my boy. Just thinking about that. You know, picture that. My boy, my boy. A lot of people going through a lot of different things going on. But anyways, getting back to the words, the eternal life. And I was thinking about this the other day, just going right back into the renewed writings and going back to the words of eternal life. There's only one way to eternal life. And in John 17:3, and this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true Elohim, and Yeshua HaMashiach, whom you have sent. That's the only way to eternal life. And Yeshua said, if you believe Moshe's words, you will believe me, for he wrote about me. So I'm Master, the only one that made it through past death, made it through Mishraim, and made it to eternal life. The only one with the true words of the Father. He said, these are not my words. We need some words, some important words, some true words. The world's full of words, but we need the only true words. There's only one way. There's only one path. There's many paths, but there's only one way to eternal life. And he says, this is the only way. You got to come through me. This is the only way. So our master said, the way is, these are not my words, but the Father's words. And you got to go to Moshe's words. And when you go read Moshe's words, the words of Moshe is the words of Yehovah. It's not his words, it's the Father's words. But he points us that way. So if our master, the master of eternal life, who has eternal life and points us in that direction, we need to go there. So that's why we've been in Shemot, because our master pointed us there. And so I went over this a little bit. When the renewed writings quote the words of Moshe, they are highlighting how the Torah foundations directly connect to and validate and find the fulfillment in the ministry of Yeshua. So Yeshua points us to the words of Moshe, and when we read those words, they are the words of Yehovah given to Moshe. And you read that in Shemot chapter 3. You read when he sees the burning bush and he says, be careful, take your shoes off your feet, because where you're standing is set apart. There's a certain way you approach me. There's only a certain way. We learn that through the Torah. That's the only way you can approach me is this way. You can't approach me any kind of way. And then he starts giving him his words and his take on what he's going to have to do. He's going to have to go rescue all his people and bring them back to Mount Sinai. There's a big in between from there all the way back to Mount Sinai. But like I said, at that vanishing point, I'm sure Moshe couldn't see that. There was a vanishing point for him. But for Yehovah, he had already said it, signed, sealed, and done. And I'm going to be with you. What greater words could that be than to hear the one that is forever, Olam, and is eternal, would say, I'll be with you. I'm going to be with you. So the ultimate prophet in Deuteronomy chapter 18, 15, you don't have to turn there. I'm just reading to you. The most frequently emphasized words of Moshe in the renewed writings predict a coming prophet. Moshe originally stated, Yehovah your Elohim shall raise up for one. And what do we say every morning for Shabbat? Why do we recite these words over and over and over? Because these words are important to us. They're important for our path that we take. They're important for the dangers up ahead on the road. I thought about this little boy, and I thought about when me and my wife was kids. And you know, our parents raised everybody to say, hey, this is the dangers. You're underneath some rules. And the rules was always to keep us safe from danger, keep us safe from harm. But we always had in our mind, boy, when I grow up and get out, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do what I want. I'm going to drink. I'm going to cuss. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Every rule that we was told not to do, we're going to break them because we're old enough. We'll be adults. We could do that now. But the whole time, the point was, it was for the dangers ahead. It was to keep us safe from harm's way. And so I just thought about that. The Father's trying to keep us on the right path, the right track to eternal life and to get to Him. But the only way to get to Him is the way He prescribes. That's why it's important to learn His words. Because there's a lot of prescribing going on out there saying, hey, you know, it's all right to do this and to do that. But you'll see as you're reading and studying that our natural corrupt mind will make us really, really think that we can go somewhere and have something and we're already done already. And He said that. He said, you're not going to make it. As long as you're in that state of mind, it's impossible for you to make it. The only way you can make it, you're going to have to listen to my son. And a man that doesn't listen to the words that he speaks in my name are required of him. His words are pure. His words are perfect. And they're eternal. And it's the only way to the Father. He said, this is the only way. So you can add to them and you can take away from them. But if you do that, you're back to a dead end again. What are we in? Time right now. Where's Yehovah? He's out of time. He's in eternity. And so if He was to come with all of eternity right now, He'd destroy every one of us. But He's got us encapsulated in a little time zone, keeping us safe with His love towards us to show us the way and the right road. And He sent His Son to do that and show us that we can. But we've got to be able to see past that vanishing point by listening to His words that He speaks by His Spirit that He gave us. His Spirit sees past the vanishing point. We don't see past the vanishing point. So that's why I've got to trust in Him. You know, I told my wife the other day after doing this study, I'm like, you know what? I don't trust myself. She goes, what do you mean? I said, in my natural mind, I can come up with all kinds of ways, but it doesn't mean it's right. It's corrupted. And the only way I could think right is to ask Him, is it okay to do this? Because we can quickly do it based on the way we feel. And that's what He's trying to pull us from making decisions based on the way we feel. That's what the wilderness is all about. The wilderness is all about trusting and relying on Him to provide, trusting on Him to make the pathway and to act and talk like Him. But they kept disobeying. They wouldn't listen. I'm trying to make a pathway for you, but you won't listen. And so that's what He was explaining, that we've got to pay attention. His words are perfect, and we need His words. Don't add to them or don't take away from them, because you'll be right back to a dead end again. It's all dead ends. His continues on forever. The ultimate prophet, the most frequent emphasized words of Moshe in the renewed writings, predict the coming prophet. And Moshe originally stated, Yehovah your Elohim shall raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brothers. Listen to him. Acts chapter 3, verses 22-23, Kepha quotes Moshe's words verbatim to prove to the crowd in Jerusalem that Yeshua is that specific long-awaited prophet. So we'll read that. Acts 3, 22. For Moshe truly said to the fathers, Moshe, why are we talking about Moshe here? Moshe, Yehovah your Elohim shall raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. Him you shall hear according to all matters, whatever he says to you. So our master's words are the father's words we need. Without, we're lost and we're destined for an eternal death. And he isn't lying. He's telling the truth. He's saying, trust me. Trust me. This is the way we need to go. Children, these words in Shemot and Devarim are so important for our survival and guidance and advice. These are his true advice and counsel through everyday circumstances and on the road ahead, the dangers and what to expect. So it's going to go smooth for a little while. You're going to go, oh, yay. And all of a sudden, you don't know when it's coming. He sees past the vanishing point, but you don't. And you hope and wish it always goes nice and smooth every day. But it don't go nice and smooth every day. I know it wasn't nice and smooth for that lady to lose her son. It wasn't nice for me to have to go through what I went through these past couple days with certain things. It wasn't nice, Brother Scott, to go through those certain things. And I know you can't compare apples to apples with somebody losing their son and somebody just having a water heater or an air conditioning problem in their truck. They're little minor things. But you can't get somebody back once they die. It's a done deal. And so the only way you can cope with that is to pray for those and ask the Father and love those people and be the best that you can for them and be there for them. Like Pastor Josh and Pastor Nicole are doing right now. That's working. That's the working of the Father. That's what it is. My wife goes all the way over there. And look, I wanted to go over there by my in-law's family, uncle that died. And his funeral, but I called around and asked if any of the guides are available. Nobody's available. And also, it was a teaching for Friday night, and I was kind of like caught between two, and I said, you know what? I'm going to take this out of my hands. I say, Father, you know, I want what you want, whatever you want. If I can't make it, I can't make it. I'll be here. I'll be doing what you asked me to do, and that's what I want to do. And so I'm here, and I'm good with that. Acts 3, 23, and it shall be that every being who does not hear the prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. And that you'll find in Deuteronomy 18, 15 through 19. So Acts chapter 3, verse 23 quotes Deuteronomy 18, 15 through 19. Acts 3, 24, and likewise, all the prophets who have spoken from Shemuel and those following have also announced these days, you are sons of the prophets, and of the covenant which Elohim made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. To you first, Elohim, having raised up his servant Yeshua, sent him to bless you, and turning away each one of you from your wicked ways. We have wicked ways. We are corrupt, you know. We are. Every one of us have a corrupt mind. And the only way to stay out of it is stay lined up in the Spirit and lined up with Him to see. Because other than that, it'll be just like people say when they look at us, they're like, man, that's crazy. That's silly what y'all doing. And then Yah, and the same hand, when you read, he says, their wisdom is foolishness to me. So it's on the same hand. Yah saying their foolishness is silly, their wisdom is silly, and they're saying on the other hand, Yah's wisdom is foolish and silly when you talk about his people really lined up with his word. Acts 7:37. Stephen quotes this exact line during his speech before the Sanhedrin to demonstrate that rejecting Yeshua is identical to rejecting Moshe's own warnings. Acts chapter 7, starting with verse 37. And this is the Moshe who said to the children of Israel, Yehovah, your Elohim, shall raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. Him you shall hear. What are they quoting? They're quoting from Devarim. This is he who was in the assembly in the wilderness with the messenger who spoke to him on Mount Sinai and with our fathers who received the living words to give to us. And that's what I'm reading right now in Shemot chapter 3. When you're reading that, he's listening to the words of Yehovah, and they're going to meet back on Mount Sinai. And then later on you read in Devarim about the people and all those things on the mountain. Saying to Aharon, make us mighty ones to go before us, for this Moshe who led us out of the land of Mishrim, we do not know what has become of him. See? They're going back to leaning back on their own corrupt thinking again, not paying attention. And they made a calf in those days and brought an offering to the idol and were rejoicing in the works of their own hands. So Elohim turned and gave them up to worship the host of the heaven. So Elohim turned and gave them up to worship to the host of heaven, as it has been written in the book of the prophets. Did you bring slaughtered beasts and offerings unto me during 40 years in the wilderness, O house of Israel? And you took up the tent of Moloch and the star of your mighty one, Kian, images which you made to bow before them. Therefore I shall remove you beyond Babel. The tent of witness was with our fathers in the wilderness, as he appointed, instructed Moshe to make it according to the pattern that he had seen. So Moshe, from the burning bush, to go get the people on Mount Sinai, and then the primary scriptures detailing the pattern of the tent, of the tabernacle, commanded to Moshe, are found in Exodus 25 through Exodus 40, with a critical connection highlighted in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 5. Yehovah explicitly instructed Moshe to build everything according to the exact heavenly, which is the eternal realm pattern shown to him on Mount Sinai. The eternal realm is where Yah is. We're in a temporary realm called time, and that includes death and an end. But Yah, what we're talking about when we get to Goshen, we're talking about when all that happens and takes place, the day is going to happen, had to be Yah. There was no way we could put this together on our own thinking. Because at best, we got corrupt thinking. His thinking is best. And he said to go that way. He says, trust me. I know there's a vanishing point. You can't see certain things, but I'm telling you, this is where we're going. Moshe, I know there's a vanishing point. Well, how am I going to speak? And Aaron. And who is that? I'm with you. There's a vanishing point. You can't see, and you're asking, please give me eyes to see, and ears to hear. I can't see it in the natural, and even in the spiritual sometimes, it gets a little tough, but if you stay aligned and focused, you'll be right on course. Just trust me, he says, trust me. We're going this way, but this seems crazy. It seems like everything's getting worse and worse. It's not getting any, trust me, we're going this way. I'm telling you, you can't see it, but I see it. Moshe, we're going to end up on Mount Sinai with all the people. We're going this way. This is the way we're going. And after all that training Moshe goes through, after being in Egypt, being in military strength, kills a man, comes all the way there. There's a lot of detail I left behind, but I had to get to this part because this is what I've been really studying. Hopefully waiting for somebody else to get to that part. But at the same time, I've just been staying right here and because it's been helping me in my area where I am, working on me and learning to live and trust in him and everything that I'm going through. Because I tell you what, if it hadn't been for this, I would have fell off many times. But he always picks me back up according to his word and being aligned. You got to line back up. Once you line back up, the seas settle and the waves and the winds, even though it's blowing still, and it seems like it's impossible, it calms down because you got your eyes and focus on him. It really does. It gets better. What seems to seem so big becomes a little bitty small thing, especially in his eyes. The righteousness of faith in Leviticus 18:5 and Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 12 through 14, the apostle Shaul frequently invokes the exact phrasing of Moshe to explain the relationship between the Torah and faith. Romans 10:5. Shaul references Moshe's summary of physical obedience from Leviticus 18:5. Writing, Moshe writes about the righteousness which is of the Torah. The man who does these things shall live by them. It's a lot to go through, so I'm just mentioning scriptures and verses to sum it up why it's so important that we need to go back and go through these. to live by them. Romans 10, 6 through 8, Shaul then quotes Moshe's words from Deuteronomy chapter 30 to explain that salvation is accessible and it's not far away. Do not say in your heart, who shall ascend into heaven, which is the eternal realm? But what does it say? The word, the eternal word from the eternal realm is near you in your mouth and in your heart. The Shema and the greatest commandment in Devarim chapter 6, 4 through 5, the most foundational words of Moshe ever spoken to Israel are confirmed by Yeshua as the core of the entire scripture in Mark chapter 12, 29 through 30. So Mark chapter 9, chapter 12, 29 through 30, he says, when asked which commandment is the most important, Yeshua responds with Moshe's exact words, hear, O Yisrael, Yehovah Elohim, Yehovah is Echad, he is one. And you shall love, Yehovah your Elohim with all your heart and with all your soul. And we're getting down to the last part of this, warnings of judgment and mercy. You can write down Deuteronomy chapter 32. The Song of Moshe is heavily relied on by the writers of the Renewed Writings to establish. So I'm just showing you all in the Renewed Writings, everything in the Renewed Writings points you all the way back to Shemot and Devarim. It points you all the way back to the words of Moshe, which was the words of Yehovah given to Moshe. The important words, the eternal words for our survival, for a pattern for us today. All of this is for a pattern for us today. All of these patterns are crucial for our next steps that we make, coming into all of our next appointed times that we're coming into, and they're coming up pretty quick. And he's going to make a way where there seems to be no way. You can't rely on your thinking. You can't rely on the winds and the waves. And you got to take every day listening, what do you want me to do? And he's going to tell you what to do. Trust me, there's a vanishing point. You can't see it, but I see it. Go this way, do this, and listen to me. Romans 10:19, Shaul quotes Moshe to explain why the message went to the Gentiles. I will provoke you to jealousy by those who are not a nation. Hebrews 10:30, the author warns of divine judgment by pulling directly from Moshe's song. For we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. And again, Yehovah shall judge his people. So validating the words of Moshe, the Renewed Writings repeatedly emphasizes that to believe in the new covenant, or the renewed covenant, the same covenant renewed from Abraham to us today through Yeshua, one must explicitly believe what Moshe wrote down, the very words of Yehovah, as Yeshua stated in John chapter 5, 46 and 47. For if you believe Moshe, you will believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how shall you believe my words? So his words was pure. And if you can't believe the words that Moshe speaks, if you won't believe me, for he wrote about me, but if you do believe his writings, if you do not believe his writings, how shall you believe my words? This is why when Shemot, remembering names and foundation, where our master of eternal life points us to Moshe and Shemot and Devarim. And we're going to find out that these words of Moshe are the words of Yehovah, the all-existing. Remember, Yehovah's name is all-existing one. He's the existing Elohim who speaks to Moshe from a burning bush that is not consumed. Because he hears the cries of his people, the generations of Abraham, he promised Abraham, will be as the stars, and who trusted and believed Yah, that he would sacrifice his only son in obedience to see that the promise, to see the promise through. That Elohim speaks to Moshe after their cry. So just before this, Moshe is being trained, a shepherd, has a great leader of Midian, Yitro, now his father-in-law. He now has a counterpart. Think about that. He has Yitro. He's being trained to be a shepherd, and then he gets married, and now he's got a counterpart to help him. What an amazing thing that God's doing. all over here to get him ready to go that way. And then his counterpart really does her part when they're going over there and he didn't circumcise his son, and she stops him dry and says, hey, you're going to have to do this. Are you calling death to our son? You're going to have to take care of this right now according to his words. And so here's a lady from Midian. She's married to Moshe, and she got to take care of the things that the words of the father said, and she's the counterpart. And how many know that we just got finished going through a lot of ladies and counterparts, and those are really important to us, even starting with the glory of Yehovah Shon and Yahweh. Shon and Yahweh, the name, the glory of Yah and Yahweh. It's pretty amazing. From being trained in war and battle and Mizraite to shepherding flocks and leadership, now it's time. Just like Yosef had him trained, just like Yosef, Yah had him trained and skilled before he put him out there. In Yosef's case, salvation of the people in a famine. In Moshe's case, salvation from Mizraim and bondage and slavery. I assure you that pressure and training came just before the real movement and leadership roles in Yosef and Moshe's life. And the same thing's going to happen, and it's happening to us as leaders. We got to go through the training before you put live, like Yosef got put and before Moshe got put there. He had to go through some training. He had to learn to hear the voice. He had to go in the right way. And they had a lot of responsibility. They had a lot of people to take care of and tend to. Exodus chapter 2, verse 23. And it came to be after these many days that the sovereign of Mizraim died, and the children of Israel groaned because of slavery, and they cried out. And their cry came to Elohim because of the slavery. And Elohim heard their groanings, and Elohim remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Yitzhak, and with Yaakov. And Elohim looked on the children of Israel, and Elohim knew. Now, I don't know if I put it down in my notes, but I'm reminded of a Hebrew word that Brother Scott went through about the crying. And there was two ways you could look at that Hebrew word in the crying. There was a crying and a groaning because of the strain that Mizraim was putting on them. But then there's another cry. There's a cry sometimes when we're going through something and we don't like it. And so I'm getting ahead of myself. I might get there in a little bit. So anyways. Okay, I want to get to it. What verse I was on? 24. And Elohim heard the groanings, and Elohim remembered his covenant with Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. And Elohim looked on the children of Israel, and Elohim knew. Yada, he knew. And Moshe was shepherding the flock of Yitro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of Elohim. And the messenger of Yehovah appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. And he looked and he saw the bush burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. And Moshe said, let me turn aside now and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. And Yehovah saw that he turned aside to see. And Elohim called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moshe, Moshe. And he said, here I am. And he said, do not come near here. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place which you are standing is set apart ground. And he said, I am the Elohim of your father, the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. And Moshe hid his face, for he was afraid to look at him. And Yehovah said, I have indeed seen the oppression of my people who are Mizraim, and have heard their cry because of their slave drivers, for I know their sorrows. And I have come down to deliver them from the hand of the Mizraites, and to bring them up from the land to a good and spacious land, to land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites, the Hivites and the Jebusites. And now see, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with the Mizraites oppressed them with. And now come, I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Mishraim. And Moshe said to Elohim, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Mishraim? And he said, because I am with you. And this is to you the sign that I have sent you. And when you have brought the people out of Mishraim, you to serve and work, serve Elohim on this mountain. And Moshe said to Elohim, see, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the Elohim your fathers has sent me to you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And Elohim said to Moshe, I am which I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. And that's when we already know, I am that I am has sent to you, all existing one. And Elohim said further to Moshe, thus you are to say to the children of Israel, Yehovah Elohim of your fathers, the Elohim of Abraham and Yitzhak and Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my remembrance to all generations. Go, and you shall gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, Yehovah Elohim of your fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov appeared to me, saying, I have indeed visited you and seen what is done to you in Mishraim. Now backing up to Exodus 2:23, about the groan and the cry with no rest. That cry is Strong's H584, which is Anach. And it's a sigh, a groan, a pain, a grief. A cry came up to Elohim, and this is Strong's H775, which is Shavah, a cry for help. And Brother Scott talked about that, and in the feminine side of it is a hallooing, a cry, hello, hello. As Brother Scott pointed out, Yah hears, he heard, and he remembered his covenant, and he in Hebrew knew Yada. So the eternal Elohim watches, he Yada, he knows. He Chava, he waits. And now after all his plans in the birth of Moshe, and the plans with Moshe, a type of Messiah, are going into motion after he has been trained. So all of this Moshe has gone through, all this training, and all the people are crying and groaning and moaning, and Yehovah already knows about this, and now he's going to send Moshe. It comes to that point. Now it's time. Just like when it was time for Yosef, it was time to go get him after he went through all this training. Now it's time for Moshe to go get his people. So getting back to that verse, chapter 3, verse 12, and he said, because I am with you, and this is to you the sign that I have sent you, when you have brought the people out of Mishraim, you to serve Elohim on this mountain. So I'm telling you, just like he told Moshe, Goshen's going to happen. All the things that he said to us is going to happen. And so when I was going through this moment, he's telling me, he said, Chad, you got to see past Mishraim. You just got to see past Mishraim. So I'm telling you, it's going to happen. So from Moshe being told here to the mountain with all the people is a stretch, if you know the story. And so we talked about that a little while ago. So from here to the mountain is a serious journey. From here to Goshen and days ahead, and to think about it, even till Yeshua returns is a stretch, a far stretch. Many of our forefathers are all died waiting for the day for Yeshua to return. And we're still waiting for the day for Yeshua to return. But we still have a lot of in-betweens from here till Yeshua returns. And he's got a lot of plans and works for us to do from here till Yeshua returns. There's a lot of in-betweens that we don't know. And we're going to experience. But Yah knows. He knows and sees it. His Ruach does. And so we got to listen to him. And so the same Elohim who changes not, easy or tough, he's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we can get to this word, Olam. 2 Samuel chapter 2, 51 is what I pulled it from Brother Scott when he brought it up. This was really important, this word forever. So a tower of deliverance is he to his sovereign, and showing chesed, loving commitment to his anointed, to David and his seed forever. So this word forever right here is two parts. There's two parts in this forever. It's ad and olam. So when you dig deep into time, or time, or endless time, or repeat, there's an everlasting, existing, always existed, unlimited, a perfection, unlimited awareness between right and wrong. So we, in this corrupt state, because we die, we are limited in our choices, in our responses, in decision-making, our thinking capacity in this temporary, even having to learn how to walk from crawling. How many know we didn't learn, we was already walking when we came out of our mother's belly? We had to learn how to walk. We had to learn how to crawl first, right? The little one learned how to crawl, now he's getting up. Brother Scott and Sister Becky's little, Hester, he's starting to get there. He's working his way there. We all had to learn how to crawl, then learn how to walk. Growing up, we had to learn how to talk, our English, alphabets. Yehovah has always been. He didn't have to learn how to crawl. He didn't have to walk. He's always existed. He's always been. We're limited in our capacity of thinking. So there's ad and there's olam. We're going to start with the first one, ad. Ad is the Strong's H5704. As far as, even to, until, while, as far as, space, as far as, until, during, an end, even to the degree of even like, until, while, to the point of, so that even, so when you look at the ancient Hebrew, it's an ayin and a dalet. The pictograph is an ayin, it's a picture of an eye, and a dalet is a picture of a door. Combined, these mean see the door as coming to a tent of meeting, and entering in a place, a time, or event that is repeated again and again. It's a repetition of time, either definite or indefinite. It's ever or everlasting or evermore. And when you put this together with Strong's H5769, Olam, it's a long duration, antiquity, forever, everlasting, evermore. It's ancient time, long time, forever, always, continuous existence, perpetual, everlasting, indefinite, unending future, eternity. Properly concealed, that is the vanishing point. Is a vanishing point. Generally, time out of mind, past, that is eternity. So this is where I got this vanishing point from. So you think about the best advice that can be given at any time in our lives. Advice from men is limited and it's flawed. It may not be the best advice, but Yehovah is eternal, existing forever. He's always been. He's perfect without flaw. His advice is perfect. So who would we rather trust? The advice from men or the advice from Yehovah? So which advice would be better? I think Yehovah's advice would be better, right? So if you think about it, when we control our lives, our own lives with Yehovah is dangerous. We cannot even trust ourselves when we're in a corrupt mind, when we're in our own thinking. If you read in the Renewed Writings, he talks about it over, he refers it to as the flesh. We no longer walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The Spirit lines up with His eternal character that works. It goes in the right direction. It's love, it's peace, it's patience, it's kind, it's gentleness, it's not evil, it's not wicked, it's not greedy, it's not lustful, it's not those things. But the corrupt mind is always greedy, always thinking about itself. It's always thinking about itself. It doesn't think about anybody else or anything else but itself. So when we're flawed in that state of mind, before we got born again and started getting trained up in the right character to be, we were dangerous. So Olam in the ancient Hebrew, when you look at Olam in the ancient Hebrew, the Ayin, the Lamed, and the Mem, Olam, the ancient Hebrew said it's beyond the field of vision of time or space. And it points you to the G letter down there. It's a distant time in the past or future, as a time hidden from the present, everlasting, perpetual, evermore. And so this word vanishing point, there's a vanishing point when you look out, like I talked about that from the beginning, when you look out into the sea, there's a vanishing point. You can only see so far. If I was charter fishing today with my buddies and it was way at the end of Southwest Pass, and I'm way, way up here by Joseph Bayou, I couldn't see him down there. That's too far to see. There's a vanishing point. There's a vanishing point in our minds that are limited in our capacity of thinking. Jehovah has no vanishing point. He sees an eternity. We have to listen and follow after the Spirit. Its odds of being correct in our decision making far exceeds the flawed fleshly thoughts. When we get out of the Spirit and we start focusing in like Kepha did on the water, you start to sink. You start trying to depend on your own thinking. And you're flawed in your thinking. Your thinking's got a vanishing point. You might think it's correct. You might think you're okay. Just like Christianity has taken God and tried to pull them into their flawed minds and saying, hey, you know, God said this, but I think He'll be all right with you falling right into a trap again. You can deceive yourself. That's how we're deceived. In our corrupt minds, we can't make it. There's no possible way you make it. You can try and try and try to be the smartest in the world, but you will not make it because it's corrupted. It has a dead end. Matter of fact, Scripture says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. This is an important one. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become foolish so that he might become wise. For the wisdom of this world is what? Foolishness with Elohim. For it has been written in Job chapter 5, verse 13, He catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, Jehovah knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are worthless. So then let no one boast in men, for all belongs to you, whether Shaul, Apollos, Kepha, or the world, or life, or death, or the present, or future, all belongs to you, and you belong to Messiah, and Messiah belongs to Elohim. I mean, thinking about Shaul, he even said it. There's many days that he goes through where, you know, he gets caught between the two sometimes. We still have this flesh we have to deal with every day. All of us do. So we have those days that we got to deal with it. And so rather be Kepha, rather be Shaul, we got to believe the words of Elohim that they portray to us and the words of the Messiah, not theirs. They said, don't believe my words, just like the Messiah. We got to believe what we're being trained up and what we're portraying in our everyday life, which is the true words of Elohim, not the corrupt words of man and not words of man saying that we think it's okay to do this or to do that. It's got to be the words of Jehovah. This is the reason our master taught us by saying, these are not my words. Our words with Jehovah are flawed at best. They're futile in our own thinking. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, So this I say and witness in the Master, that you should no longer walk as the nations walk, in the futility of their mind. In the futility of their mind. At best, without Yehovah, the smartest man in the world could have all the monies as futile in their mind. There's so many people that are so rich and think they have everything and still a grave is waiting. If it didn't do it, according to the words of the Father, this way, you will not make it. You can't make it. Or we'll be calling God a liar. He said, you can't make it no other way but this way. This is the only way. You can add to it and you can take away from it, but you're taking away from eternity. Eternity comes to an end for you again. You're back to square one. Sin keeps your mind flawed. Sin drags your spirit down. Sin. Quit sinning, he said. Sin is what makes your mind all messed up and disabled. Having been darkened in their understanding, having been estranged from the life of Elohim because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart, who having become callous, have given themselves up to indecency, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Messiah, if indeed you have heard him and were taught by him as truth is in Yeshua, that you put off with regard to your formal behavior, the old man, being corrupted according to desires of deceit. In the flesh, at best, we are deceitful, very deceitful. And to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the renewed man, which was created according to Elohim in righteousness, and set apartness of the truth. Therefore, having put off the false, speak truth, each one with his neighbor. For we are members of one another. Be wroth, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your rage. I'm telling you, at the end of the day, even before I got here, I was repentant to make sure I was clean. Before I blow that shofar, in case I said or thought something, to make sure that I'm clean and free from sin. Keep my heart clean. Create me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. As we come and gather, and this is an important thing, let me not blow the shofar in vain. But let me blow it in spirit and truth. Let me do it with right standings. I don't want to come before you wrong. I want to make sure I do it right before you. Before I blow it, even blowing a shofar. Having put off the false, speak truth, each one with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be wroth, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your rage, nor give place to the devil. That's what the devil does. The devil tries to try and manipulate our minds just like he did to the children of Israel when they were in the wilderness. Come on, man. It was better. You had stakes over there. You had this over there. It was better for you over there. And you have I saying, I know just a little bit more. Come this way. Trust me. There's a vanishing point. I know you can't see it, but come this way. I'm going to provide for you water. I'm going to provide for you food. I'm going to provide for you clothing. I'm going to take care of you in Goshen. I'm going to provide the whole way. You got to go this way. I know it seems better to go that way. I know you want to give up and just go back. What's the use? It's all that Mishreem's keeps binding you down. And it's true. That's what Mishreem does. Mishreem binds you down and keeps binding you down. But just because it binds you down and it doesn't feel good and it doesn't look right to you in your eyes, doesn't mean it's the way to do or go back. Keep going this way. Trust me. Go this way. Because the devil wants you by all means to go that way. He's very deceptive and he lies. And it's not the way to go. No good place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, what is good, so that he has somewhat to share with those in need. Let no corrupt word come out of your mouth, but only such as good for the use of building up, so as to impart what is pleasant to the hearers. And do not grieve the set apart spirit of Elohim, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. In your decision making, don't decide on your own terms what may seem or look better. Because the Spirit, the Ruach of Elohim, has the right answer every time. He won't get it wrong. He won't get it wrong. It may seem like this. It may not seem right. It may seem foolish to your thoughts. But I'm telling you, he's right. Because it's the words of Elohim. They're perfect and right. by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and displeasure, uproar, slander be put away from you along with all evil. And be kind towards one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as Elohim also forgave you in Moshe. At best, all of us without the Father's pure advice are corrupt. What we feel and unfair pressure and mishreim is good. And why would I say that? Because it gives us awareness of where we came from, and it's a terrible place to still walk through the shadow of death and mishreim, keeping in mind that you are an open door in it for those who are still lost in it. That's what we are. That's why we are here. I know you might not like mishreim. I don't like mishreim. But we're walking through mishreim to take those who are lost where we were lost in mishreim, lost in the chaos. You know, people are living every day trying to live their best life in this one, and it's going to come to an end. Trying to go on vacation, trying to live it up, get the best clothes, the big house, and when I die, I'm just going to go to heaven, and it's all going to be it. And there's a big, big, huge eternity that's missing. Something's missing. This is not all it. And everybody's just coping with it because that's what the corrupt mind does. It deceives us in believing this is it, it's okay, and we'll just cope with it. Until you run into somebody, somehow, some way, where Yehovah brings the light bulb on, bing, and you see something you never seen before. Wait a minute. Eternal life? Forever? Wait a minute. What is this? And all of a sudden, you got somebody's attention because Yah runs you in the right place at the right time, even though it was tough and it was hard to go through mishreim to get there, but you had to get to those individuals and those people. And many, many stories, those testimonies go on and on and on as you keep following him. Romans chapter 1, verses 21 through 25. And trust me, the more you see what eternal life and the true character in the eternal realm is, the more you don't like it in mishreim. Mishreim is crazy. Every human being is trying to cope with and trying to make a way with the way it is, and it don't work. None of it works. None of the businesses work. None of the nations work. None of the they say God's in it and God's this, but still people stepping on other people and still warring and killing people for other things. It's a mess. The whole world is a mess. But he's going to take us out of it. But we're in it for a reason, for other people. Because although they knew Elohim, they did not esteem him as Elohim, nor give thanks, but became vain in their reasonings, and their undiscerning heart was darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools. And they changed the glory of the incorruptible Elohim into the likeness of an image of a corruptible man and of birds and of four-footed beasts. I was telling Brother Scott this morning, I said, you know, it's crazy how so many churches and religions have taken God rather than letting themselves be taken to him to be fixed and changed, have taken him so far into their own corrupt minds that they made God into this little baby that could be born and poo in himself and have a diaper and then die. A six-foot man. That's what they believe God is. And I'm like, man, God is this eternal forever. And he goes on and on and on and never ends. It's incredible. Claiming to be wise, they became fools. And they changed the glory of the incorruptible Elohim into the likeness of an image of a corruptible man and of birds, four-footed beasts and reptiles. Therefore, Elohim gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts, to disrespect their bodies among themselves, who changed the truth of Elohim into falsehood and worshipped and served what was created rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Men highly exalt men who are corrupt and flawed and whose lives are going to end, and don't choose Elohim, the one who is forever in eternity. I tell you what, I got away from DirecTV, and I got a smart TV. There's a lot of different things. You can go to YouTube and all this and that on there. And I come in there one day, and my wife's got it on the YouTube, and they got these birds, and they got God's scripture, Psalm something, Proverbs something. I look on a little table, little stand, and Milo, my cat, sitting there watching them all. He's watching them all. And he's so intense watching all the birds. And he sits there for hours watching the birds. I sat down, I start watching the birds. I'm like, man, Yehovah is incredible. Look at these birds. You got a weaver bird. He goes out there and he collects all this grass, sits there and weaves this nest that God created, mind you. Man can't pick up dust and blow on it and make this beautiful yellow and orange bird, to a weaver bird, to make these beautiful nests and then have the eggs in there and then go out there and get the worms or the bugs, come in there and little babies and just regurgitate it to each one. Then they growing up, then they learning how to fly, they fall out, then they grow up and they fly and they go do the recycle as of life. Gives life. Yah is about life. Giving birth to life. And then all these live creatures, it's incredible looking at all this. And so me and Milo are watching the birds. it's pretty incredible, all those birds they made. But that cat sits there and watches them birds. He's fascinated. That was my wife's idea, by the way. Men have dragged and twisted Yah's pure word into a corruptible, twisted, dying, limited Elohim. Visual of Yehovah instead of Olam have brought him down to a limited one. So in all of this, when I was learning this, there's time versus eternity. There's limited versus unlimited. So whose discipline would you trust? Men? Yourself? Hasatan? One's limited and flawed. One's unlimited and perfect and on point. And the arrow don't miss. What happens when we sin? We miss the target. He don't miss. He hits the target every time. The Ruach hits the target every time. So things are going to get easy and unstable. And Pastor talked about it a while back. And you're like, when the Ruach uses him and talks about it, you're like, man, it's so smooth right now. Things are good. And you can't see past the vanishing point. But you got to trust him. And all of a sudden when it hits, you don't like it because it's not going your way. Why this got to happen? Man, what's the point? Why I got to go through this again? They get me with this and they get me. I feel like I can't even breathe anymore. I'm being drowned. And it's like, you got to see past midstream. You got to see past it. You got to grow a little more. You got to see past midstream. And I saw it and I see it. And I've been growing in it. Staying aligned will keep us on perfect point. We have to stay on point. We're going this way. How much time they got?
11.
Okay. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 15 through 19. So, like Brother Rob would say. So, while it is said today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who having heard rebelled? Was it not all who came out of Mishraim, led by Moshe? And with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter into his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. Sin distorts the mind. Sin weakens the spirit. Sin distorts your visual of who God is. As long as you're staying on point, you get a visual of the eternal Elohim that you serve, and you see your name, Chad, Chet, He, Dalet. You're carrying him, and you get into a place that all of a sudden those doors open, and you see some incredible things. But the sin, the enemy tries to deceive you with sin through the flesh. The flesh is always wanting to look with the eyes. Is wanting to hear with the ears. He said, do not decide and make your decisions based on what you see, because you can't see past that vanishing point, and what you hear. You got to believe me. Listen to the Spirit. He's going to lead you the right way. That's why I give you the helper. You got to listen to the Spirit. I know things are not happening right now. Things are not working out right now. It's unbalanced. It's not right. It doesn't seem, but I'm telling you, keep going this way. It's important. It's for a reason. It's going to happen. There's some important things that I see. You don't see past the vanishing point, but I see it. You just got to trust me. What did he say to Kepha? Come on, Kepha. Why did you not believe? Where's your faith? He lost his faith for a minute. But you got to line back up. You got to get back lined up, and you'll see it. One day of pressure can cause one to turn back when the very next thing you needed is to see his goodness was right behind the next right choice, but you allowed your corrupted flesh to talk you right out of it because it didn't feel good, it didn't seem the right way, doubt and fear crept in, it's not going to happen, what's the use? It's a faithless, corrupt mind. So you got to stay focused and push all those things on the side and stay aligned. You got to stay focused. Careful, why did you doubt? Pressure without spiritual discernment will have you deciding based on what you don't like at the moment. So you might not like it at the moment, but don't start kicking things around and get mad and upset. You just got to deal with it. And he said, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says Jehovah. You got to lean on him for all the strength, and he's going to see it through. And after you get through what you thought was so hard, so difficult, you're so mad and kicking things for, it wasn't really that big at all. It was small. And you make it through it. And the next time it comes, you just learn to make it through it better because it makes you stronger. You got to let the wilderness and you got to let midstream make you stronger. You got to keep digging. You got to keep striving. You got to keep learning and living. So I'm going to stop right there. That'll be plenty enough right there for us to chew on. But this is what I've been using for me last couple of weeks. Eternity versus time. He's in eternity. So when you say, my Father who is in the heaven, he's in the eternal realm. That's the eternal realm. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom, your eternal realm come where? It's coming here. The eternal realm. This time is going to end. And it's ended for a lot of people. They're in the grave. And one day he's going to raise them up when that eternal kingdom does come, when that eternal realm comes. But for the time being, we've got to put on that eternal character. The character like him that lives and breathes and has his being. That's what Yeshua, our help, has shown us to do. And so there's a lot of things that we've been praying this week, a lot of things that happened this week, and we're just going to keep praying on all those things. Yeah, it's good. He knows. He sees everything. And we just got to trust him and believe what he's telling us to believe, and we'll stay afloat. Other than that, we'll be delusioned and down in a rut that we don't need to be in. We're more grown up and mature than that. But he's going to keep us growing. Keep us sustained all the way through.